He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it. He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show. I got a list of sponsors here. So first off, we got Harito Bending, harito-bending.com. You're going to use promo code CHEERS for 10% off. And a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. So I appreciate that. You know, everybody wants to be on the Harito cert list. I haven't heard a bad thing about the quality of his bolts. I can personally say that they're the same every time. Some really hard bolts on there. He got certs for every style, including snapping. He's also got wraps and t-shirts on there. So definitely hit up HaritoBending.com and use the promo code CHEERS. Next, we got Jed Johnson's Nail Bending eBook. If you want to check this ebook out, if you're a beginner, message me for the link, because if you use this link, a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. We also have the Gripito Trainer. This is an all-in-one grip training tool. If you use promo code Beyond the Bend, you're going to save 15% off of a sale of $90 or more. We also have Gil, former guest, BarrelStrengthSystems.com. Use promo code BEYOND for 10% off. Gil's got a ton of cool stuff on there, including the flask. This is a pinch device. If you can do a body weight pull-up on this thing, you're going to get on a roster. I think that's pretty cool. All right. Lastly, we have Hard Life Fightwear. That's hardlifefightwear.com or .co.uk. If you want some rash guards or something like that for jiu-jitsu, they also got a bunch of other cool t-shirts on there. You're going to use promo code Beyond the Bend for 15% off. Also, if you want to get on a roster, an unofficial roster, hit up at Eat Chalk Get Big on Instagram. If you bent a 80D unbraced or two 60Ds taped together unbraced, you're going to get on an unofficial roster. The other thing is, if you snapped a horseshoe, I don't need a video. I'm keeping track of people who've snapped horseshoes just because it's a cool thing to do. If you've also snapped one into three pieces, hit me up. Or if you've snapped one laying down, there's only two people on that list, so get on it. Last thing, a couple new things coming up. I'm going to be putting out a feat of the week. This isn't really a challenge more than just like something cool to do week by week. It's going to be just like some athletic stuff mixed with some bending and snapping. So I'm going to be putting that out. And the only way to participate is just to do it and then tag me in the post and throw it up on Instagram or Facebook. The other thing is every month, I'm going to be doing a monthly challenge. We've had some really good participation lately. I want to keep that going. I have some really cool things planned. So I really appreciate everybody's support and looking forward to another good year. All right, thanks. All right, Rob, welcome to the show.
There we go.
All right, we're going to start it like I start everyone. Tell me about the first time you saw someone bend a piece of steel.
Well, I don't know. World's Strongest Man, probably. Nice. You know, when those guys were doing it back in the 80s, awful form, of course, but they were so strong, it didn't matter. And but far as short steel, like what we do now, Nate Browse got me started, man. It's
okay.
Awesome guy, man. If it wasn't for him, I probably would have never certed the ridge, you know, just with his videos. I mean, that's how I learned to bend. Yeah. And I certed the rib within 2 or 3 months after I started bending. But if he hadn't have shown me how, I would have never, I had the strength, but I couldn't get in the groove, you know. You know, you got to have the shoulder flexibility to get back, and I just didn't have it at first, I guess. I don't know, but I think a lot of guys had the power, they just can't generate it if they don't get the bar far enough back, you know. So
yep, definitely.
But yeah, Nate Browse, yeah.
He and was what year was that?
I started in 2013. Yeah,
okay, cool.
I started, yep.
And what were you doing athletically around? Were you already lifting? What other kind of strength stuff were you doing prior to the bending?
I was arm wrestle. Yeah.
Okay.
My background is powerlifting, powerlifted for a number of years. Loved it, but I guess I got too old for it. started having injuries. So I got into arm wrestling. I hooked up with a great crew in Charlotte. That's where I came from. And guess I started, I laid off arm wrestling for a little while, had an injury, and I started training grip, and I loved it, man. It just took off. You know, I was just really good at it naturally. I had a lot of grip hand strength from manual labor all these years. So I did industrial maintenance all my life and raised on a farm.
Nice.
Swinging hammers and that kind of stuff. So I already had the hand strength. So in bending, I don't know. I just kind of segued in there somehow. I was doing grip, and then I just started bending, and it just came natural to me. I loved it, man. I think it really tests your mental and physical.
It sure does. I can't think of anything quite like it, to be honest. I actually just got done doing some snapping before we got on here. I've developed quite a love for the snapping, because coming from a grappling background, I feel like the snapping is as close to a fight as you can get, because it's a test of the endurance and strength.
Dude, the grappling thing, I forgot. Yeah, I saw that. Oh.
Yeah.
You did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was the most of it. I started in 08, and I had a few stops here and there, but I've trained with a lot. I always tried to be like a sponge, you know, so I had a good friend that his father was a wrestling coach, and he wrestled in college, so I would absorb as much information as I could for him. If I met someone that knew, you know, judo, grappling is grappling to me, so I was always trying to absorb everything I could. I think that's what the guys that get good really do. You know, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself too much to one style. And that's, given the rule set for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's so loose that you're able to use those other arts. And that's kind of probably why I stuck around Jiu-Jitsu, because it's essentially like you and the person agree that you're not going to kick or punch each other, but you're going to grapple until someone taps. And without the pin, without the pin being a factor, you can do a lot of different moves from your back and stuff like that. And just the openness of it kept it interesting for a long time, for sure.
I did Greco-Roman in high school, like the regular wrestling, you know. That was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Not what you're doing.
At my first jiu-jitsu school, a guy started same time as me. He had a Greco background, and his grappling just shot up. Like, we started the same day, and he was like 10 times better than me, like within a week or two. He just had to like apply the little differences, you know.
You just hate those guys, you know.
Yeah. But
I had to work for it.
Yeah. So Nate Browse introduces you to bending.
Yeah.
Was it in person you saw him do it and you're like, I gotta try this? Or what was he's like, wrestling?
I saw these guys been in the Red Nail. I can't remember who it was. My memory escapes me, but I know I used to watch. I remember saw Paul Knight been in the Gold, and that really inspired me. And I've met him. Yes, he's a great guy, man. Paul Knight, JT, Aaron, Corcoran. He helped me a lot too. He did. Mike Sharkey, I don't think he's around anymore, but he used to bend. He got me started too. So seeing those guys bending, I started searching on YouTube, watching videos. Nate basically did it via videos. Yeah. I never saw him bend in person, but the way he broke it down on the video, I finally got it, you know. And yeah, those guys inspired me, though. They were the first ones.
Nice.
Yeah, JT and Paul Knight, those guys, yeah.
That's a good group of guys right there.
I've met all those guys in person, too. I met JT. I met all of them. Awesome, man. Awesome.
So you said you already had the strength. You just needed the flexibility. And you said you were powerlifting. How about as a kid? Did you play sports growing up? You said you worked on the farm, but was there any athletics, or was it just hard work?
Well, a lot of manual labor. You know, we talked about that, so you did that too. But in sports, I was a baseball guy more than anything. I love baseball, man. So nice. I could swing a bat. I always had that speed and power swinging a bat. I guess that comes down to grip strength too. Baseball was probably my first love, and then I wrestled too in high school. So
oh, nice, yeah.
Wrestled like 3 years. Yeah, I loved it, man. Yeah, so. That was my background, and I lifted some coming up. Yeah, I did. We lifted in the, you know, regular weight room and stuff. So
sure.
Yeah. And
about what year did you get into the powerlifting?
Oh, geez. It was probably 08, 09. And I didn't start till, you know, I hate to say it, but I think my prime years were wasted. I didn't even compete in my 20s and 30s, really, especially sporadically, you know, because personal stuff, you know. Yep. I was and had to work two jobs, and all through my 30s I was working two jobs, so not to get too personal, but I think my friend wasted doing that, you know. So I started competing in my late 30s and early 40s, and but I mostly did push pulls. I did deadlifts and benching. I did some squatting, but mostly it was push pulls. My deadlifts was pretty, you know, my bench was okay, it wasn't nothing special, but my deadlifts were pretty strong. So, yep.
Nice. That makes sense. Good grip strength, back strength. That deadlift is my lift as well. And I'm chasing some particular things right now with it. My bench is okay. Squat, I'm a little scared because I don't have the proper setup to really go heavy with it. So I don't want to get injured. So I'm just going light with the squatting. But,
you got to get your power right, man.
Yep, that's the next purchase, no doubt about it. So tell me about the first time you actually bent. Did you just try 60 penny and it went, or what were you trying?
Yeah, I was trying 60 pennies, yeah. And that's how I started. And they seem, I think I got that the first time I tried it. But the red just stopped me cold, man. And I was like, holy smokes, you know. But it was so cool to see somebody bend it. And I'm like, man. And they're smaller guys doing it, you know. Like, and here I am. I'm probably around 250 around that time. I'm a lot bigger than I am now. Because I did strongman too, you know. I did that and arm wrestled. And I was weighing in the 240, 250 range. And benching some pretty good numbers back in the day. I was in the high 300s, you know.
Nice.
400, whatever. And couldn't understand why I couldn't bend it, you know. So the rest is history. You got to learn how to get in position, you know. It's all about the angles and getting the bar back far, you know, and double overhand, you know. That's the main style that I concentrated on. So
yep. Well, were people bridging that gap from the 60 to the red at that time with grade fives and grade eights and anything else? Or
yeah, people were still bending heavy stuff back then, but I think what I did, I hooked up with Aaron. He kind of turned me on to micro loading, kind of with the thinner metals. I had some 3/16ths that I would add and build up that way, and Nate suggested that I start pre-kinking them.
Yep.
So that's the problem I was having. I couldn't get them started, you know. Once he showed me how to pre-kink them, I was smashing them then, you know. I could sweep them and crush them, but I couldn't get them started. So I think that's what got me built up to the red. I finally got to the point where if I could kink them, then I could finish them, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
So where'd you go from there? You said a couple months you started the red, and then what did you because a lot of people are like, all right, well, I'm done here. And I remember, like, when I realized that the red was just like one peak, and then there's all this stuff above it and seems to be continuing more and more above that, you know, day to day as we go on here. So what was the next, you inserted the red. Let's talk about that experience, actually. What was that like?
So back then, you know, they have judges to come out, you know, make sure everything is up and up. And I had, Scott George did mine. I don't know if you know him, but he was a big grip guy back in the day. Scott George, he started the 3, and he also started the red. So he came out. He was my judge, and they give you 3 nails, of course, and you had to pick one, and you roll it up. And I bent it in, I think, 12 seconds, something like that. I mean, I went right through it, man. Nice. Yeah. I was ready, man. I had a train like crazy for that. You know, I was bending probably 3 days a week, but yeah, I did not want to fail on certain days.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But after the red, I actually started trying to, I started chasing the goal right after that, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, nah, still hadn't happened, but, but, cause the gold is just like the 8-inch length, man. It just, it's so hard, man. It's, yeah. I've been doubles and stuff like that, but I could never get them in singles. No, I never could. The kink is like hit and miss, man. It's just so hard to get started. The 8-inch length heals your shoulders, man. It does. It's going to take the right person to bend that, you know.
Definitely.
Like a big guy like Nate could do it, but the big shoulders, you know, like you got to have the width to get. I mean, bro, it's just unbelievable to get started. You know, have you tried them? I mean,
not unbraced. I mean, I bent them braced, but I'm not, I don't even know if I could, to be honest. I'm only 5'7", and even the 7-inch length is like I feel so much more comfortable at 6, to be honest.
Exactly. But I think
my friend Josh Goldthorpe, I feel like give him a little time. He's still new, but what considering what he's doing and his size, I could see him doing the gold and singles.
I want to say that I couldn't think of his name. That Canadian guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he'll be the guy. He should be. He's like what, 6'4", 300 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, more.
Tell him he should be the guy. He should chase the goal.
Yeah, I think we'll see it. He's actually, shout out to Josh. He's starting the first Canadian cert roster called Grip Sport Canada or something like that. And he should have the bolts done pretty soon, maybe by the time this comes out. So everybody be on the lookout for that. It's going to be a new roster based out of Canada.
He'd be the guy, man. A guy that size and strength, he could do it.
Yep. So what was it about bending that, I mean, we know, right? But we're just going to try to put it into words here. So it's like, I like to hear from everybody's. What was it about it that just made you so motivated to get that red nail, you know?
It's rugged, man. It's rugged. I could use that word. I mean, yeah. It's rugged to you know, have a piece of steel bend in your hands, you know, and just kind of like it's going to yield to your will at some point, you know. I guess that's the way to put it. Because I've seen some that just, you know, and they vary too. You know, that's what one thing I hate about steel. I mean, it does vary. Yeah. I've seen some that you couldn't get started, and then some you just smash right through them, you know. So, but that's what motivated me. After that, I started chasing the gold. To get back on that. And I, you know, like I said, I've been them in doubles, but I just could never, it was so frustrating, bro, you know? So I started going after the shorter steel, and I went after the, I started the Big Duke. I started going after the Fat Bastard barbell stuff.
Yep.
I started the Duke. I did that in imps actually, singles. And then I went
what's the dimensions on that? That's,
it's 11/32s.
Okay.
7-inch. So it's right under 3/8.
Gotcha.
That's the next step under the, king, you know?
Yeah.
And, then I started the king about 3 years later, you know, it took me a while. Wow. To get there. Yeah. Oh, that's on another level.
That's a short list too of people who've done that one.
And guys at the time had done it. I was number 10. So, yeah. Wow. That had been the last, 15 years probably. So, yeah, it was pretty tough, man. I finally got that one, and I was pretty happy with that. I wanted to go for the Big King, which is the shorter one. Paul Knight has done it. Yeah. But I never did, man. I started back arm wrestling. That's what happened. So,
oh, okay.
You kind of can't do both, you know?
Yeah, it's what it seems like, you know? It's like once people get to a certain level – it really seems like they kind of have to pick and choose. Like, I don't see too many guys really, even with the grip stuff, I don't see too many guys being ultra competitive in grip and doing a tremendous amount of bending too. I think it just zaps you too much.
I think you can't compete. You can't do both at a high level.
Yeah.
You can do them, but you can't do them at a high level at the same time. So like with arm wrestling, if you're competing for an event or something, you really got to focus on it. And it's really taxing on your CNS, and but bending is too, you know, so it's like you can't do both, you know, it's just, you got to focus on one or the other. So once I hit my goal with the King, then I started back arm wrestling at the end of 16 going into 2017. And I pulled for another 3 years and went to nationals a couple of times, did pretty well. Yep.
Wow.
Sat down nationals. Yeah. Did pretty well and pulled into master division and won a couple of titles. Yep. So it was worth it, man. You know, focused on arm wrestling for about 3 more years. Total of about 10 years I arm wrestled off and on. Yep.
Really? Wow. Yep. Is that typical for an arm wrestler? Because I feel like it's got to just be so much wear and tear of injuries and everything else.
It's the most painful thing. I mean, have you ever tried it? I mean,
well, I tell the story. I'll tell it again. I've told it on the podcast. So when I just started jiu-jitsu, my first year, I was at a party or whatever, and I arm wrestled somebody, and whatever that did to my elbow, I couldn't use my dominant hand like for a month, it felt like. And here I am in jiu-jitsu and I can't grip the gi with my good hand and everything like that. So I swore it off. I don't think I've arm wrestled another person since I was like 22. With all you guys talking about, it's getting me, making me want it to try again, but I never want to feel that freaking tennis elbow again.
It's a cool sport, man. It's fun, man. It's if you can get a good group of guys to train with, because you got to have people to pull with.
Yeah.
Downside, I mean, it's not like steel bending. You can do it by yourself. You've got to have a group of guys. You can do cables and stuff and get strong, but you've got to develop the offense and the defense. You need to be able to actually grip up with someone, you know.
Yeah. So, I really like the idea of the strategy, like the fact that it really is a match, you know, as a grappler, I like the idea of that, that people, it wasn't until I saw the documentary, Pulling John or something like that.
John Brzezink. Yeah.
Right. And that I even knew that there was like these styles of attacks, you know, I had no idea there was like the three main styles of like attacking somebody. And that was all really interesting to me. And then I was like, oh, man, this is very much like grappling, just one arm. That's me.
Some people call it a mini martial art, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Definitely.
So it's a lot goes into it. But everything, still, strength is the biggest thing. You got to be strong in order to execute the moves, too, you know? And then the technique, all things equal, yeah, the more technical guy can win, but you still got to develop the strength. You know, it takes a long time, man. It's and it's painful. Like I said, your arm's gonna hurt like hell. There's no way around it. The first 6 months, you're gonna be in pain. You know, so
that's what everybody I have on says. They're just like, oh yeah, it's just pain.
But if you get past it, I mean, your tendons and your joints kind of get used to the stress, I guess, and and it goes away. It's not as bad, you know, especially if you start pulling on a regular, your body gets adapted to it, you know. So
yeah,
it's like anything else, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, I was talking about this with a guest that I had on last week or something like that. It was like when I first came to bending and I saw the development, like the toughness of people's hands and the development of tendons in their arms and stuff like that. It reminded me of, like, I don't know if you've ever seen the kids in Thailand that train Muay Thai and like kick the trees, and they just like kick the trees down with their shins, and it's so developed. That's what it reminded me of.
Your body is amazing. It can adapt to anything, I guess.
Yeah. So every time I think about that too, I think about Pat Povilaitis with the cougar trap too. Like sticking his hand in the trap. My God.
Guy's amazing, man. He's amazing. He inspires me too, man. The guy's amazing. Yeah. He bit the King too back in the day. Yeah. I think he was the first. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm working on getting him on here. I know a lot of people want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's awesome, man.
So what was, you said you were bending 3 days a week. What was the typical bending workout leading up to the red? Just a lot of volume, or were you, how were you working?
Played off what Nate suggested, you know. I mean, I was a newbie. I didn't know anything, and I was getting some newbie gains, you know, and I was moving along pretty fast. But when I hit the red, I got stopped. Oh, yeah. But it didn't take me long. So he suggested I do full bends one day, maybe do kinks one day, and then another day do like the crush and the sweep, you know. So that's what I was doing. I was kinking because I had to work on that. So getting back here and just, you know, kinking it, lay the bar to the side. You know, I would do 6 or 8 bars like that.
Wow.
Some days I'd do 10, every how I felt. And then by the end of the week or the middle of the week, when I bent again, I would finish them off, you know. And pre-kinking them, again, I think that helped me get through the mental barrier, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, God, I can't bend this thing, man, you know.
Yeah, for real.
But that's how I pretty much did it. I would have kink days, and then I'd have sweep and crush days, you know. Yep.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't think I've heard anyone else segmenting it like that. That's pretty cool. And were you still running a regular weight training program at that time?
Yeah, but you back off the heavy. I mean, you can't bench heavy and bend heavy. I mean, you just can't do the both. But I think benching really helps. I think that I do a lot of kettlebells, you know.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of shoulder presses, kettlebells and stuff. That's mainly what I do, just full body stuff. And I was kind of doing the same thing back then. Kind of like a CrossFit hybrid kind of, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of cleans and presses and a lot of pull-ups and stuff like that. Just general strength, you know. A lot of back work too. You got to do your tagus muscles. You got to do one-arm rows and T-bar rows and pull-ups and stuff like that. So that's developing that, your upper back. You know, that's very important with bending, I think. Double overhand. Yep.
Definitely. Now, yep. Did you do any reverse or any double underhands too?
I like reverse. I've done some. I'm not great at it. Okay. Underhand, I've never, God, I just couldn't get it, man. I don't know. It kills your pinkies right here.
It's funny. That's why I always like to ask, because
I'd
rather, like, so double overhand is people's strongest, with very few exceptions, it seems like. And then it really goes one way or another. For me, reverse, I don't know what that, I'm just weak in that type of movement, you know, but the double underhand, I don't know what that is, but I have a decent double underhand, and reverse is my weak point. It's tough.
I just never got into it. I might've been decent at it, but I just, I was focused on double overhand because I was trying to bend the biggest bar as I could. Yeah. First, I kind of got into that. I did pretty decent with that, but nothing real big or anything. But my sledgehammer strength was always good. So I think that helps me with bending too. You know, the reverse, that helps, you know, doing that. So
that's where I was going with that. I know you're a big sledgehammer guy. Yeah. You posted a funny video in Home Depot not long ago. Levering, what was it, like a 16 or
a... It was a 16. Yeah, it was a 16. Yeah.
Nice. That was a good video.
I've, you know, and Jeb was giving me props, man. That really, I told him I really appreciate that, man, because I do them pretty strict, you know. I try to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been doing that forever, too. I couldn't tell you. I did them on the farm when I was a kid, you know. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just from years of practice, man. I mean, you develop any strength, you keep working at it, you know. So
yeah,
that's something I'm good at. I love my hammers, man. I think sledges are – they're the best for wrist strength, man, even for bending and everything. I mean, they're good for everything, man. I'm telling you.
Yep. Did you happen to see it was funny, it was like 1 week Delmar Carter put out a thing that was like a funky, like backwards lever, and then Adam Glass did like a, I forget what he was calling it, but he just like pick it up off the floor and just like straight arm it like right out, and like
I haven't tried that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know Delmar is a big sledge guy too. He's super strong. I don't have the flexibility to do that. I tried it. I couldn't do it.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're tough, man. It's like even like a 10-pound hammer is hard. If you're not used to it.
I couldn't do it, man. My wrists are too, I don't know, too stiff. I don't know. I'm a lot older than you guys, you know. Glass, man, he's just amazing stuff he does. Oh, yeah. No, he can do it. Guys, he's world class, man. Oh yeah.
Every time I handle a 45-pound plate when I'm loading them up on the bar, I'm like looking at this thing like this dude strict curls these things. I can't even believe it.
But I think he inspired all those plate curls videos now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's cool though, the way the community works like that, you know, it's just like keeps people like excited to train and motivated and stuff.
It does, especially amid this pandemic, man. I mean, it keeps people motivated. Yeah.
Definitely. Mm. So you said big fan of kettlebells. Is that speaking about your own current training? What's training look like for you right now?
I still do them. I mix them in now like a warm up. And I still do them. I think they're excellent, man. I think they train the body without actually overloading and overtraining, you know. At my age, I'm more like quality of life now, you know. I'm not trying to break any records or go crazy or anything, but I still do them. I've got a pair of 25s, I got a pair of 35s, I got a pair of 60s, and then I've got an 80s I can use, yeah. About a year ago, I did some pretty heavy kettlebell clean and presses. But now I'm back on, I'm doing some Olympic bar lifting now. I'm doing a little bit of benching and a little bit of squatting. I've kind of got back into that, kind of a 5-3-1.
Yep.
Familiar with that routine? Yeah, I'm doing that. Nothing real heavy. You know, he advocates taking 90% of your max and then building off of that. Yep. 3-4 week wave, I think. So I'm kind of doing that now. I'm trying to build some strength, a base, so I can maybe if I can start back up bending, you know. You know, you motivated me to bend that.
I did a 5-16.
Yeah, Josh beat me out. He beat me by a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was super pleased to be able to still do that, man. I mean, you know, I've been a little here and there, but not much, man.
You still got it. That's a strong bend to come out of nowhere and do.
Yeah, I can't let these young guys outdo me, you know.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that guy's a phenom.
In bending, you know, it's like what I feel like with bending and grip particular is it's a different type of strength. It's like, and I'm sure this happens in arm wrestling too, but in my experience grappling is like, it's not always the guy that just looks like swole that feels the strongest, right? It's
absolutely.
My experience, and it was like the stonemason, the mechanic, these guys, even if they didn't know a whole lot of jiu-jitsu, when they grabbed a hold of my arm, I had to really focus on breaking that off. And I guess what we're talking about there is like people call it farm strength, old man strength, etc. What do you think that is? Like, are we talking tendon strength? Like, what do you think the development of, I guess, what bending develops, what grip develops? What's the difference there?
No, I've seen guys like, again, we both come from the farm background and the manual labor background. My dad was a construction guy too, pushed wheelbarrows and stuff like that. One of the strongest guys I've ever known. So okay. I looked up to him as a kid. I think that inspired me I was always inspired by strength, you know. Because I was a skinny little wiry guy coming up, you know. I mean, but in high school, I got pretty big. I mean, I took after my dad. He was a big, thick guy. So, you know, but I think it's repetition, man. I mean, I think it's kind of like neural efficiency, you know. I really do. I heard there was a guy at Arnold's one year came up there and picked up the inch dumbbell. Never seen the damn thing. Apparently, he was a plumber or something.
Out of here.
How do you explain that? I mean, you know, not a dude either. Picked it up. I mean, it's crazy, man. So I think it's like repetition, just every day doing it. And then it just builds that neural efficiency. It builds grease the groove, if you will. I don't know. I mean, I think that, but all the guys I know that are like really successful, like arm wrestling, when I first started, my trainer told me, he said, you're one of the strongest guys I ever felt, man, for like first time, you know.
Wow.
But I'm still getting killed. But he was like, he said, you're one of the strongest guys I ever felt, like first timer, you know.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot to do with that, you know, the background, the manual labor background, and just repetition every day doing it, but not killing yourself, you know? I mean, you're building that efficiency, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting like that because it's.
I think.
So how about bending is pretty addictive when we all feel it, when you feel the thing move, it's the reason we all keep doing it. You know, it's like, it's a feeling like no other. We said it at the top. So the possibility of overtraining is always there. And it seems like we're intense people to begin with. we're doing something that's like highly rewarding. So how did you stay away from overtraining, or did you get overtrained? Talking about arm wrestling too here.
No, you get injuries along the way. There's no doubt. When I was trying to cert the King, I got turned down on my first couple of certs because I can't remember. I did something wrong, and that's fine. You know, the judging was tough. You know.
Yeah.
And that's fine. The third one I got it, but I got injured between the second and the third one. And I had to take off, bro. I couldn't bend for like months. I did something to my shoulder. I think I had like a minor, like a little pec tear or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't lift my arm hardly. I was messed up, man. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to give up. You know, I was so close. I'd already bent two of them.
Yeah.
So I had to rest. I mean, it's just, it happens. You know, it's not linear, man. You're not going to keep progressing.
Yeah.
There's going to be peaks and valleys. I mean, that's just how it is. I tell you, a big, heavy bend back in the day, I would only do them like once a month, you know, like a hardened bolt or something like that, like a grade five or something like that. I mean, once a month, maybe. Otherwise, bending, I'm greasing the groove, you know, I'm bending stuff handle that's not too hard and too heavy. And also, I use a lot of other stuff too. I was going to bring some of these props in here. I forgot to. But I use like heavy grippers.
Yeah.
To crush. Oh, yeah. I do that. And I had rebar that I used to use. Because, you know, steel gets expensive after a while.
Yeah.
So I had stuff like that I used to. But again, I didn't bend super heavy about once a month, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I was repping once or twice a week, though. I was making sure I was greasing the groove, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm not doing any double overhand at the moment because I got a little tweak in my shoulder, and I did this hard stainless bar for Giorgio Jeep Grip Band Italy, and felt it there, and I just know if I do any double over, it's going to flare up again, so I'm just trying to not even bench too heavy or anything and just like do high rep, get some blood in there, and just like come back to it in a couple months. But it's given me the opportunity to develop the double underhand and the reverse.
That's what you're
obviously
working
on. The snapping, you know.
Yeah, just ice it up, man, and do high reps. That's all you can do. You got to keep the blood flowing, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been lucky. I haven't had anything worse than that. And no real bad injuries from bending. I know when to kind of back off, you know, and live to bend another day, you know.
Yeah.
If you once you get past your newbie gains and stuff and start settling in, you kind of start hitting the wall, then you see who's going to stick around, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
A lot of guys don't stick around that long with bending because it is hard on your body too, man. It's hard. Yeah.
So how about with the general lifting and stuff like that? Have you been able to maintain the same type of discipline as far as knowing your limits with regular lifting?
Oh yeah. Because I still had to get physical at work, man, so I can't risk getting injured, you know. So because I work for a big furniture company, and but I do industrial maintenance, you know. But we help them unload containers a lot. It's heavy stuff, man. So I'm still physically active. I can't risk, you know, getting hurt, man. So I try to stay within a rep range, and if you're on a program like a 5-3-1 or something like that, it kind of keeps you focused and you don't go crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Again, it keeps you from overtraining as much. As long as your rest, recovery, and your nutrition and all that is in order, then yeah, you'll do fine, you know.
Yeah. How about specifics on that stuff? Do you have anything that works for you specifically for recovery and nutrition stuff?
I was following, so I'm kind of on a Mediterranean dash diet now, if you're familiar with that. I've tried them all, man. I tried the keto. That wasn't good for me.
Yeah.
But I did lose like 10 pounds and I kept it off. Yeah. So I lost like 10 pounds on that diet, cutting out the carbs, you know. Yeah. But now whole grains, whole foods, it's more like the DASH diet, Mediterranean diet. So whole grains, whole foods, no processed stuff, and no sugar, no white breads, that kind of thing. Everything needs to be whole grains, low fat, dairy. It's a pretty healthy diet, man, because I had some blood pressure issues, so I'm trying to get that under control, you know. So that's what prompted that, you know. But surprisingly, I'm maintaining my strength. I've lost some from when I was you know, big, you know, when I started the King or whatever, but
yeah,
but maintaining pretty well. And actually your body weight ratio, your strength to body weight goes up when you lose weight. So
yeah,
pull ups are like easy now. You know?
That's cool.
Absolutely.
And how about recovery when you're actively bending? Did you do any like contrast baths? I don't know. Everybody has something, or some guys say nothing at all, but.
If my hands and wrists are hurting forearms when arm wrestling, yeah, I did contrast baths. Sure did. Yeah. Cody Burns, you remember that name?
He comes up a lot.
Cody Burns is the guy that turned me on to that. He's the one that told me to start doing contrast baths. You take a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket full of water and ice. And then the other buckets, you get hot water and you just dip them back and forth, man, for like, yeah, you hold them like 2 minutes each. And I'm telling you, it makes a big difference, man. Cody, he's amazing, man. The grip stuff he does.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think he still has got a lot of world records and stuff, you know, so.
I look at David Horn's page pretty frequently, and he's still got a bunch on there for sure. Did he do any bending, or is he just a grip guy?
He, you know, he tried the red. He was going for the red, and he got injured, man. Something happened. He got hurt. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, again, one of the strongest grip guys in the world, but I think he injured his shoulder or something. Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. So he never pursued grip. I'm sure he would have been great, though, if he did, you know.
Yeah.
His pinch strength in particular is just crazy. Yeah. If you go to Nags, and he's still got the world record, I think.
Wow.
In the Euro pinch, yeah.
Yeah.
And two-hand and one-hand. I mean, yeah, he's just amazing, bro. Yeah.
Like to track him down and get him on here. I mean, it's just some of the guys that bring him up when they do, they're just like, they speak so highly of his strength that I'd like to speak to him.
He was an electrician by trade. So,
oh, is that right? Okay.
There you go. Tradesman. Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Now, speaking of competition, did you ever do any competing in bending or grip? Anything else besides powerlifting?
No, I didn't. I told Don. I wanted to get up there and see him 1 year. He invited me, and I just never made it. Cummins, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing guy, man. Yeah. But I never did. I never competed in bending. I've done a lot of grip contests, though. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
A lot of grip contests. I came in second in nationals in 2014. So I did pretty good there. Jeb was at that one, too. That's when I met him. And that's when Luke Raymond, he broke my world record hammer lift.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had the Nags sledgehammer lift. I had the world record for about a year or two. And
oh, wow.
That's the year he broke it, yeah. Yeah, super strong guy, too, man. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Luke Raymond, yeah.
Yep, yep. I just bought a 3x4 Saxon bar from Arm Assassin. And,
he's got great equipment too. Yep.
Yeah. Actually, he sponsors the show. So if anybody wants to save money from Arm Assassin, you got to use promo code Beyond the Bend. You'll save 10%.
Okay. Good deal. Hell yeah.
We got to get you on Hurido, man. That's the next thing. Actually, speaking of sponsors, so Jan Heller, Hurido. You've probably seen it on the Steel Shredder group. Everybody bent these big bolts.
I ordered some, man. I ordered some.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Yeah. Oh, good. Did you use promo code Cheers?
I did not.
All right. So promo code Cheers saves you 10% from the Horito bolts. But yeah, man, that'll be cool to see you on there. I want to, because it's a newer roster, so I want to see some of the older school guys get on there. And I was telling Adam Glass, and I had Tanner Merkel on last week. I was saying, I got to send some bolts down to those guys. So, and now, not only is it double overhand, that's the main cert, but he's got bare hand, one pad, reverse, double underhand, snapping, braced. Yeah. So he's got everything on there. One of my goals is to be the, hopefully the second guy to cert all styles, I'm hoping, that after Josh got all styles first, but I only got like 3 more to do.
So what are the bars are like, they're pretty consistent. I was talking to him on the grip board. We were messaging back and forth, and I ordered like 2 of each. That's what I did.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
No, they're very consistent. I've ordered from them 3 or 4 times now, and there's no variation that I can tell. you know, I've bent and snapped a bunch of them, and they repeat. I mean, I don't feel any difference. He has a good product there. It's
what he said. We were messaging back and forth. So yeah, they're coming. I'll see where I'm at, man. That's why I'm trying to build some strength right now. I'm benching.
That's
stuff.
Cool. Yeah. We got, Brett Bracken came back into bending a little bit, and he just started the 8.8, I think, which was cool because he wasn't doing a lot of bending, and then he was on the show, and then he got back into it a bunch. So it's cool to see him get on that roster. So it's a good one, man.
Yeah, I'm thinking, so the 8 is like a grade 5, is that correct? Something like that? Yeah, their system is a little different, I guess.
Yeah, so like the 8.8, yeah, that would probably be like an edge in, I guess, I would assume. Like it's a tough bolt, real tough bolt. And then like the 8.2, I'd say is like red nail territory. And then the 8.4 is maybe like a quarter inch grade 8, something like that. And then the 4.8, that's the brand, like the beginner one, it's, you know, like a great, like a quarter inch grade 5 or something like that.
Yeah.
Then you go up from there. I don't even know what to reference them to.
Yeah. That's not a pretty much out of everybody's range, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so we got Alexander Klimovich of Russia. He's the only one to have unbraced double overhand, the 12.9. So only one guy I've done that. I mean, this is a guy we're talking that's double overhand, two red nails taped together, this Russian dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Mm. And then the 10.9 is a short list. I think Derek Grable is on top of that one. He cut that bolt down to 6 and did that one. And then Josh just did that one. And there's a couple other guys. Kirill Vankovich of Russia is on there. Cut maybe one or two other guys from Russia, but not a lot. And then the 8.8 is a few more guys, but still not many.
I've been a grade 5. I've been an edging. I've been a 6-inch edging, but that was back in the day. I couldn't do it now. But
yeah.
Because the crush on that thing is ungodly, man. Oh, my goodness. That will test your metal right there. That will test your fortitude, if you will.
Oh, yeah. So we know what type of strength it takes to be good at bending, but I like to switch that question around. And in what ways did you think bending made you stronger? Did you feel like it increased your grip or increased your chest strength? Anything like, was there any gains that you could trace right back to bending?
I think it definitely helps all around. Just like you said, old man strength. I mean, it upper back, shoulders, that static strength that you develop, I think it develops a tendon strength, you know? So in arm wrestling, you got what they call a post. I mean, you got to keep your wrist up. So you don't want to be dumped this way, you know? So I think bending develops that ulnar deviations, is that what they call it? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
But hammers do that as well.
Yeah.
So you be dumped this way. So if you're maintaining this, I think that's really important. I think that helped arm wrestling, definitely. I was back and forth there for a number of years, you know. I couldn't do both at the same time, but when I go back, I think so, yeah. And not only that, I mean, it develops such such mental toughness, man, you know. I mean, who's going to go out in a garage in the cold and bend still, you know?
I know.
It takes a special kind of person, you know.
yeah. That's what I knew when I started this. It was like, I don't necessarily have to interview the guys that have only bent the biggest stuff. I knew I could interview the beginning person and, you know, people along the way, because it takes such a unique kind of person to even be into this that I knew everybody would be interesting anyway.
pretty tough dude to even try this stuff.
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm. All right. So we're going to start wrapping up. I'm going to hit you with the medley. This is the rapid fire series of questions.
Oh.
So first thing, favorite thing to bend. We're talking material here.
I think bolts. Yeah.
I like bolts too.
Or they're more, you know.
Hardest thing to bend for you.
The hardened steel. like the grade fives and stuff like that. The crush on them is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Strongest bending style.
Double overhand, yeah.
And weakest style.
Probably underhand.
Yeah. Did you ever get into any horseshoes or any other like brace bending?
I did do some brace. I did horseshoes, yeah. I like horseshoes, yeah.
Yeah. I'm here. There we go.
I did horseshoes, but that's the only brace I did, man. Had a couple issues. Had a medical issue, and my doctor advised I shouldn't do. He said I shouldn't do. I'm going to turn the light on, too. He advised me not to do brace bending, you know. So,
okay.
But I did get into some pretty good-sized horseshoes one time. So.
Nice. Yep. Nice.
Yep.
All right. Something outside of strength training, bending, grip, something outside this world that you enjoy doing, another hobby that's unrelated to strength.
Not much. No. I work a lot, man. My job is all consuming. I put a lot of, but I like to walk. I do a lot of walking, actually. I think that's some great exercise.
Definitely.
And eat a lot. I'm a reader. Starting to get back into it more than I was. And I'm also a bird watcher, believe it or not.
Hell yeah, me too. Not so much like, I don't really look them up. I just have a bird feeder and I like to look at it and just like be still for a little while.
That's crazy, man. I do too, man. I got a big bird feeder in the back. So
Yep. It was funny when I got it, my wife got it for me and I was wanting one for like a year. She's like, I'll just get you one. So it was like, I posted a picture of it, you know, and I was like, something low impact in contrast to everything else I do. Cause it was like skateboarding, jujitsu. This was before any steel bending or anything like that, but just something to balance out the intense stuff, I guess.
Amazing.
All right. How about the one bend that got away? Something you tried that you haven't been able to complete yet?
The goal.
Yeah.
Never get it, man. I've all but given up. I mean, the 8-inch length, man, it's just, that's the only thing. Other than Chris, but
it's 8 and some, right? It's like 8 3/8.
8 3/8, yep.
Yeah.
So it's, again, it's got to be a big dude, I think. You got to have a big shoulder, wide clavicles, whatever. You know, I'm pretty wide too, but it's just not.
Yeah. All right. Next question is strongest person you know. So this one throws people, but it's like, so it could be somebody in bending, it could be somebody outside of bending, it could also be like your grandfather or something like that. And if you can't think of anyone, you could just, because I'm sure you know tons of strong people, you could just pick one to give them some shine today.
So many, yeah. And he's not a bender per se, but Bud Jeffries, you've heard of him?
Oh yeah, I had him on. Yeah. Bud is the man.
Did you? God, yep. I gotta watch that one. Okay. Yeah, Bud Jeffries. He's amazing, man. Size, strength. He can do it all. Yeah.
Oh, I talk about like these people that I come across that sort of like just revolutionized the way I think about training and strength in general. And you know, first it was discovering Don Cummings' Instagram page, because up until that point I thought the red nail was like the peak of the mountain. Then I see Don like bend like 66 red nails in a row or whatever, and all this other stuff. So I'm like, okay, there's a whole lot more to this. And then when I saw Bud's page for just general strength, I was like, whoa, there's this dude, big dude doing the strongest stuff, but he's also sprinting. And he said, it just was like, there's like, and then the other guy, and I just had him on, was Darren Shelman. Darren's a smaller guy, more similar to my size. The stuff is that Darren's doing is just amazing. And his strength is totally
unique. I met him at Grip Nationals 1 year. Really good guy, man. Yeah. And very strong. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
He does a lot of stats.
How about best piece of advice you were ever given? This could be about training, bending, or just life in general.
Let me think. You know, don't take anything for granted, man. Take every day one day at a time. Live it like it's your last, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
every day's a holiday, every meal's a feast, you know.
That's it. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. And funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you spent your time bending nails?
Oh, they say that's all you got to do. And I work with a lot of mechanical guys. They're like, why would you waste a perfect piece of steel, you know?
You bend a wrench and everybody becomes a comedian, right?
Yeah, I got them on my desk at work and people are like, why did you do that?
That must be what separates it, because I wouldn't question why someone did that if I saw it. I'd want to know how they did it, and I'd want to do it too, you know.
Yeah, there's some of them most people are really impressed though. Yeah. But some people are like, why? Why'd you do that?
They probably think you used a vice.
Yeah.
All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show?
It's a lot of guys, man. You've already had Bud, which I might have to check that out.
I'll send it to you.
Maybe some of those guys, man. If you could get a hold of Aaron, he'd be great.
I'm working on it.
I don't think he's still bending. Tommy Jennings, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
He inspired me a lot too, man. This guy's a mechanic. We have similar backgrounds. And he was folding gold nails back in the day, you know. But those two guys in particular.
Definitely.
And then that other guy I mentioned to you, Daniel Splendora. I said you hadn't heard of him.
I got to look that up.
But he bent a huge king. I think he bent like a 6-inch king, which is unbelievable. This guy. Wow. Unbelievable. His crush was off the charts, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Wow. I'm gonna track that one down.
Yep.
All right. Tips and advice for beginner benders.
Don't do it. No, don't get discouraged, man. It's all about one day it's gonna click in your mind. You know, at first it feels like you can't move the steel. You keep at it, and once you get in the groove and you get the angles, it's going to fall, man. You're going to bend it. So just be consistent and don't give up. I mean, it's an amazing feeling to bend a piece of steel, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You got a little trophy right there, you know?
Yeah. And how about advice for beginners maybe that are just coming over to lifting?
Build your base strength, you know. I mean, the big three is always that you can't never go wrong doing that, squatting, benching, deadlifting. And then just build off of that, you know, do some kind of heavy row, some kind of pull-up, and some kind of overhead press. And, you know, that's going to build your base. And that's what I would do the first few years, you know. As far as steel bending, I focus on upper back, shoulders, and wrist, you know, wrist work, sledgehammers, you know, when you're not bending. I used to try to do them both together, you know.
Yeah.
I got a couple of 8-pounders that I would just do reps with, you know. I take them in the front, I lift them up, and then I go overhead with them, pronations this way, rotating, you know. Just build your wrist from all angles with sledgehammers, and just, you know, do tons of upper back and shoulder work, and bench too. You need to bench, so.
Yeah. Good advice.
Dumbbells, yep.
All right, and where can people find you on social media and stuff if they want to follow you and see what you're up to?
Just search my name, Robert. I go by Robert Miller on Facebook and Instagram also. So, okay. Yeah. I think it's Rob0306 on Instagram. So,
I'll tag it in the episode.
Yeah, it'd be awesome, man. Yep. I'm probably a couple years removed, but I'm starting to get back into it. So I appreciate you for doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm excited. You have some Harito bolts coming your way. That's going to be great.
Yeah, let's see where I'm at, man. I don't plan on breaking any records, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Rob, that's it, man. I appreciate you so much coming on the show.
Thank you, Cody. It was awesome, man. Again, you lit the fire, man. So especially now in the midst with the pandemic and everything, it's great to have something to focus on at home, you know, because they pretty much shut down a lot of competitions now. And I haven't arm wrestled in a couple of years now. About a year and a half, I quit arm wrestling. I went to a practice a few months ago with some guys, and that was fun, you know. But there's still been something you can do at home.
Yeah.
And yeah, heck yeah, man. It's awesome. So I appreciate you lighting the fire, man. Really did. I guess you can start by getting into the MMA stuff. what's
pretty soon. Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that, seeing what my grip feels like. I know some of my teammates are scared when they see what I've been up to. They're like, I'm never letting you put me in a lock again. Yeah.
You grab the gi, it ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. And even like, I've been doing so much thick bar and Saxon and stuff. Like, I feel like even because I did primarily no gi, I'm a better no gi fighter. But I like the gi too, but I just like grabbing someone's forearm or their tricep, man. I feel like I'm going to clamp that thing.
Yeah, you can, problem. You can nullify a lot of moves with that grip, man, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I wrestled at high school. I just did the Greco-Roman, but yeah, I know grip's important, man. So
yeah,
that's the weak link usually, you know?
Yeah. All right, Rob. Well, enjoy the rest of the weekend, man. I'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Cody. I appreciate it, man. Good brother. We'll talk later. All right.